This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod.
Hello again, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 531, recorded on January 9th, 2018. Good thing that's written in front of me, or I would have stumbled over that, Sally. Joining me as usual on this technology podcast, not just technology, but ministry meets technology podcast, is Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I am very good, Martin, and it's neat that we are joining the podcast both from our homes. That's the nature of remote work these days, that we can be productive no matter where we are with the use of technology. Yep. So yeah, I wonder how many pastors work from their homes at times.
I've got a lot. When I was in the ministry, I did. We mm-hmm. had an upstairs, well, a couple places, obviously, but had upstairs that worked nicely as an office. That's one thing I miss right now. I did have an office in this house, but I gave that up to change it into a workout room after I had my heart issues, and I thought, well, we need a treadmill, and we got a bike, so I thought that was the better purpose. So when I'm working from home, I'm either here at the dining room table. Actually, we don't have a formal dining room, but this is probably the best light. I've got a nice window to my right, and if I'm not doing a podcast, then I'm just sitting on the couch, which is very poor posture. So I've got to figure that. I think I'd like to carve out some office space again, just to be as productive as possible and save my back.
We've been envisioning office space in our motor home because I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago or last week that we are making plans to downsize and live in a motor home full time and travel the country while we're working. And mm-hmm. Office space is important because both my husband and I work from our location remotely. And so we had to have two spaces, and he's used to a stand-up desk, and motorhome ceilings aren't that high. There's not a lot of space for raising things up. I mean, there's a lot of considerations there when you go full-time RVing. So
you're giving the home and motorhome a new meaning for most people. It's just kind of a vacation home. It's going to be the home.
So the place.
I'll go wherever you go. So that'll mm-hmm. be interesting. We were talking in our pre-show conversation about maybe the echo that you'll have to deal with, you know, if you're in there with hard surfaces and such. But you brought up a good point. What about weather? So we may have to delay some podcasts in the future due to weather.
I'm thinking you would hear rain. Yeah. So we'll see how that is. And, you know, we have lots of options. I was thinking of podcasting from the picnic table at times. And so you just never know what the future of Wells Tech holds. So.
Yep. So I'm sure we've got our listeners on the edge of their seats just wondering how this is all
got me on the edge of my seat. Very curious.
Yeah. All right, very good. Well, we're going to continue our month-long series on sharpening your skills, a little conversation about, you know, where technology meets professional growth and professional learning. As we're coming up now to another year, kind of made us think of, well, what can we learn? How can we expand our skills in the new year? And we've talked about a number of things, but today we want to talk about maybe some of the sources of or techniques for creating that personal learning plan and developing a personal learning network, resources that you can go back to, dip into, some of them totally free. So this does not have to be an expensive experience to kind of keep your skills sharp, especially if they're in the technology space. There's just so much out there, but I think for every discipline, there's all kinds of online learning resources and social media and things, and we'll talk about things like Twitter, have made a huge difference in our ability to kind of craft a program and help you do that from the comfort of your own home office, wherever that is.
You know, Martin, I was just reflecting on the notes we made as we planned for this session, and I think if we had had this conversation maybe 5 or 8 years ago, we would have been all about RSS feeds, That was like the hot thing that you could tap into all kinds of things via RSS. And over time, it's kind of morphed. And I don't really hear that many people that excited about RSS readers and feeds and things like that. And I think the same kind of concept is coming to you, but you're just getting it and managing it with more refined tools and better tools and broader tools.
Yeah. RSS really depends, and we still depend on RSS to do the podcast, because that's still how podcasts get to iTunes and other podcatchers. But by and large, that's really its only purpose. The RSS feeds were meant to kind of grab or make available mostly web content. And while they still are out there, there are other tools, especially social tools, that kind of have taken its place. So you're not just publishing content to the web, but you're also publishing maybe links to that content, as we do with our show notes, to social media. So at the top of the list for personal learning networks, and rightly so, is a tool like Twitter, where if a news item comes out on a news site or an educational blog or whatever, chances are very good they have a Twitter account and that they're publishing or syndicating or republishing that exact same content, an excerpt of it, just maybe an abstract of it, a picture, and then a link. And that's plenty to kind of figure out whether that's good reading material or something that maybe you want to quote-unquote subscribe to, or in Twitter parlance, follow. So when you're following certain Twitter feeds, you're really getting this same effect that you got in the good old days with RSS feeds.
Right. And I think the powerful thing is when we used to subscribe to RSS, we got just that particular content. Whereas now on Twitter, we see this mashup of all this content. We see what other people are liking and following and retweeting and things like that. So we're able to broaden, you know, our exposure.
You
mentioned, especially in technology, I think, especially in education, if you're a teacher these days and you go to any kind of a conference or anything, it's all about connecting with people on Twitter. That's a really popular thing to do in education. And like you said, I'm sure in many other vocations, but you just can learn so much just by checking it for 5 minutes in the morning each day. I was just having a conversation with one of our coworkers about, she had asked me about the topic of children and cell phones. She was looking into that. And I kind of mulled it over for a while. And then what do you know? Here's an article on that. Here's a video that came out from the Today Show last week on that topic. Here's another article on that. So, you know, it just kind of presents itself to you. It's like it's easy pickings, and there's so much to learn.
Yep. In fact, our video of the week is going to be a teacher giving a quick guide for teachers to starting their PLN on Twitter. And one of the features that I find useful, and I think others who have created PLNs through Twitter find useful, are something called lists. So if you're not up on your Twitter lingo, lists are simply a way to just categorize different Twitter feeds. So if you want to, and there are a bunch of education-focused pre-populated lists so that you can subscribe to the list already, or you can obviously create your own. So you just call it, you know, EdTech or whatever categories you want. But essentially, because Twitter is this fire hose, you need to at least refine it a little bit so that you're not having to weed through, you know, all the other stuff that may be interesting to you but is not specific to maybe a personal learning goal or professional learning goal. So Twitter lists are great ways to kind of curate that content. And if you're looking to kind of fulfill the or follow through on a personal learning plan or professional learning plan, you can just go to that list versus trying to ferret through all your Twitter stuff.
And if we want to go to another level, you can look at other people's lists. So if you're following someone in ed tech, you may notice that they've already curated an ed tech list and you can follow their list. So there's just so many ways that you can get this great content just with that one tool with Twitter. Yep. But, you know, you can use YouTube to do similar things. And YouTube is just such a large treasure chest of things to learn in video format. And so easy to create playlists there to mark things to watch them later, to share things, whatever it may be.
Yep, lots of tools there. Because, you know, sometimes you're doing a search and you find, you know, 20 resources that might be a fit. And you don't have time to kind of review all of those, but you want to come back to them. So rather than bookmarking them or whatever, YouTube makes that super easy to be able to create those lists yourself. And then even when you've created playlists, to share them with others too. So don't reinvent the wheel. And you see a lot of good playlists out there on all kinds of different topics. So that's definitely one of my go-tos for a lot of the things that I'm researching. So.
Yep. And one that was kind of a last minute addition to our notes that I threw in there, something that I rely on pretty heavily, but I'm very discerning about it, is email lists. So I'm sure many of you have experienced going to a certain website and they prompt you, you know, sign up for our newsletter or whatever it may be. Maybe to get this free download, you can register here and then you're going to get their email and stuff. And I would say of those over time, I've probably unsubscribed from 90%+ of them. But I do have some that I really get a lot of value from, their daily emails even. One in particular is Better Cloud Monitor. I used to subscribe to something called the Google Guru, and they bought the Google Guru and integrated it into their news. And that's one of my singular sources for tech news. They just have a really great headlines, and it's very short. I don't have to absorb a whole lot to see if there's something there that is useful to me. The other is a Smart Brief, and Smart Brief, there's a lot of different Smart Briefs on a lot of different topics. The one in particular I subscribe to is the Smart Brief on Educational Technology. And so again, on a daily basis, I think both of these are only on weekdays, not on the weekends, but 5 days a week, you can get this short newsletter with headlines from across the whole spectrum of educational technology. And so
productivity tip is don't let those newsletters come directly into your inbox. It can just be a distraction, because usually you're not in a mode where you're going to devote, you know, time to, you know, this professional learning plan that you've got, which, you know, maybe these newsletters are feeding. But, you know, use the tools that you have in your email client, whether it's Gmail or Outlook or whatever it is, to filter those out and put them in like a newsletter folder or something like that. And just make sure the count, you know, many of them have a little count feed, just make sure that's enabled so you can kind of see that stuff's in there. And then, you know, set some kind of schedule, and we're going to talk about that in a minute too, that you go in and dip out what you want at that point. Don't let it kind of interrupt your day at, you know, usually inopportune times.
Very true.
So Sally, the next step is once you've kind of got this, you know, all this in these inputs coming in, all these kinds of resources that, oh, I want to read that, or I want to look at that, and then you begin to research those, you're clicking on links that usually go to blog posts or websites, and then you find something that you really want to save, that you want to work with or share, or you know tag it as a resource or whatever. There are tools, tagging tools, that let you do that as well. So not just on the discovery side, but now the real, you know, this is good stuff, I want this to hang around, I want to review this, I want to spend more time with this, I want to, you know, whatever. And we've talked about a lot of these tools before. The one that I use is Pinboard. It costs, I think, $11 a year, so a little bit under $1 a month. Very bare bones, no graphics, really fast. You can get it on your phone, on the web. It's just kind of a raw listing. You add tags. They can be private or public, so you can share those lists. So that's a popular one. And then DeGo, which is what you use, right?
That's right. And same concept, you can tag things, which is basically associating search type terms so that when you come back and you just are looking for something generally about maybe Google Slides, you can just type slides and everything you've ever saved will come up for you. And you can quickly look through the list to find maybe the particular resource that you're remembering that you had saved there or whatever. So very powerful. The caveat is they started charging for theirs in order to have these shareable lists and things. So I don't do that. I just use the freebie plan, and it does what I need it to do. We have a Wells Tech group there, which is also a free capability of DIGO, and that means that multiple people can add to our WellsTech collection of tagged items. So if you aren't part of that, we encourage you to join it and share links with us using DIGO if that works with your workflow and your learning techniques.
And there are other tagging tools too. Chrome has one built in that allows you to make public, you know, those lists. It's not quite as full feature, but it's a plugin that allows you to do that. The next, you know, another part of that though is not just tagging the content so you can reference it again, but doing something with it, maybe highlighting it, pulling things out, taking notes on it. And we call that annotating the web. And DIGO has tools for that so that when you visit a page or go back to a page and you've got the DIGO plugin loaded, it will show the highlighting or notes that you added. So you can add a little click on a piece of the page and, you know, it'll add a note or highlight a paragraph or whatever. I find that really helpful for presentations. So if I'm referring somebody or the group that I'm presenting to a web page, I can immediately draw their attention to the areas that I thought were interesting. So I'll use DIGO for that. Another way to do that is through one of my favorite tools, and that's OneNote, where you can easily use their Clipper tool, which is another plugin for Chrome, Firefox. It's on Edge as well, where you just say, you know, grab this, and then it comes into OneNote. So whether that page goes away, changes, whatever, you've got it captured right in OneNote, and then you can obviously use all the tools there. Annotating tools, if you've got a screen that you can draw on, you can annotate with a pen or finger, whatever. Add notes, highlight, you know, all those things. And that makes it also searchable, which is another thing that's really valuable, is once you've got all this stuff, it's good to have it in one place and good to be able to search it. You're thinking, well, I know, but it was 6 months ago, a year ago, I found something that was really relevant, and I want to bring this into a lesson plan that I'm working on. Where was that? You know, then you got to remember what site it was, blah, blah, blah. But if you got a good searching tool and you've got it all collected in a tool like OneNote, then it becomes a trivial exercise to go and find that stuff and grab it.
Yep. Taking our discussion a slightly different direction, Martin, where we are talking about developing professionally or a personal skill set, one of the most popular ways to do that today is to start a blog, to start sharing what you know.
Yep.
And that's one of the reasons that Twitter and all these other resources we've talked about are so powerful, because there's so many people sharing their knowledge in the blogging space these days. And I think there's a lot of people that are willing to jump in and give it a try and do the blogging thing, but there's also some trepidation there, or some feelings like I'm not good enough to blog about things. And I just want to offer my own personal encouragement, not just in blogging, but anything I've ever had to teach or explain to someone or put down in writing. I have to know it a lot better, and I find the gaps in my own knowledge base, my own weaknesses in the process. And so it's a very much a tool for learning yourself. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many times it's been said, it's your voice, and you can bring something new and different to the table if you are willing to share, you know, via a blog or whatever.
Yep. There's two sides to that, or two benefits, I think. And I think both of us learned this last year in 2017 when we were blogging every other week with ministry resources, where we had to get educated and we had to figure out enough. We had to know more than maybe just a surface level knowledge of the topic, so in order to write a meaningful post. But even if you never share it, you know, a lot of people I know of just blog because they want to record it for themselves. So they're capturing it, they're capturing images. It's just the blogging tools today are so good, easy to make links, easy to format and just and catalog and search. And so if you're, you know, putting content together, and whether it's for educational purposes or whatever, just putting it on a blog, even if you're the only one that ever reads it, is a very good way to kind of capture it for time and eternity, where you can come back to it. But in the process, if you are blogging, then that could potentially be shared as well.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've said that the Wells Tech blog is my brain, because, you know, you have to think about it as you're doing it. And then I can remember things that I put out there maybe 5 years ago or whatever it was, you know. So good way to learn. Another good way to learn, a companion to blogging would be something called podcasting, where you're doing actual audio to publish via the web, or vlogging, where you're doing a video-based conversation or whatever it may be, teaching, whatever. Again, you got to know it well to do those things, and you're learning something new by learning about podcasting or vlogging in the process. We know probably way more than we want to know about Google Hangouts, for instance, because we've used it for quite a while for our vlogging.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So let's change gears again to not talk about necessarily the sources and what you do with it, but how do you get ready to do it? And the planning part of this is, I think, pretty important. So if you don't intentionalize this process, it's just not going to happen by itself. So you have to kind of think through what you want to do, what you want to achieve. And then I think one of the biggest things for me in this continuous learning process is to make it a part of a review process. So if you're reviewing yourself or reviewing your work or reviewing your tasks or whatever, obviously it needs to be in that kind of system. So whether that's weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually, how are you doing against this particular goal? And then, you know, intentionalize, you know, the writing it down and saying, I'd like to learn this, blah, 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 in this quarter, blah, blah, blah. But also a part of a more formal review, a performance review, maybe by your supervisor. So that is one way to be held accountable too. So you've said together, or you've agreed together, that it would be great if I would learn or you would learn this. So set that as a goal. And then that checkpoint, that that performance review, gets a chance to kind of check up on that. And it serves as a little bit of a motivator to say, hey, we felt this was worthy of our time. This was a priority. Did it turn out that way? So that's just kind of a good checks and balances. But you got to think ahead, and you want to document that. And, you know, another thing that I find really helpful, Sally, is try to schedule time just to think and learn and brainstorm. So you're not scheduling what fills your inbox and the tasks that come into your life, all these other inputs. But schedule time just to kind of not do any of that, but you know, do the things that are related to, you know, this growth. So sometimes, very often, when I'm eating lunch, I'll be, you know, doing some reading, watching YouTube videos, something related to something I want to learn more about. So I'm multitasking in that respect. So those kinds of things fit nicely into my schedule and help me get down the road a little bit.
So maybe I can jump in with a little bit of a devil's advocate here. A challenge that I experience is I can start out with some great plans and things, but I get that drinking from the fire hydrant thing. I get overwhelmed by all that's coming at me. And I also have a lot of different interests, and I want to go a lot of different directions. And all of a sudden, I'm kind of down a rabbit hole, and I haven't really invested myself in the topic that I had set out to. I don't think that's always bad, but it is a challenge.
So how have you dealt with that?
I don't do it well. I just try to learn everything I can, like a crazy person. I don't know. I try to stay focused. I try to, you know, stick to one topic if I'm doing research or trying to learn something new or whatever. But I'm really not very good at that. I like to learn, and so I go a lot of different directions. It's just a challenge.
Sally, there wasn't too long ago we were reading a book on that.
Was it? What's Best Next or something like that?
What's Best Next? Yeah, that's a great thing to remind ourselves, that when you're trying to pick, when you're trying to figure out what to do next, what to learn next, where to go with your life, that there are some criteria that God has given us, and our ability to kind of listen to that direction and then execute on where he thinks we ought to go is a pretty good directional signal to listen to and to follow. And you have to be intentional about that too, right?
Very true.
You have to And we talked about that in the review of that book, which was, it's an awesome book, but talking about things like talking to other people, obviously being in the Word, understanding what your gifts are, taking a look at where God has put you at a certain time, and that may change and may be different from your personal to professional life too. So lots of different directions to go, and you know, something certainly to pray about.
You will be happy to know I just handed that book to my oldest son, who's a senior, the fifth year at MLC this year, preparing to head to seminary next fall. And he's trying to figure it all out, what's best next. So yeah, hopefully that'll be
it. It's harder now than ever before because there are so many inputs and so many things that could take up your time. And like we mentioned, it's so easy to find lots of things to learn.
Absolutely.
Out there. So we're going to continue this topic for the rest of the month, and hopefully we'll have some interesting interviews and conversations with people who've fought this fight as well, as we're kind of sharpening our skills together. So, Sally, we should probably move on to our next segment of the show, and that's something we call News in Tech.
It is indeed, and we have a couple of news items to share today.
One very scary.
Yeah, unfortunately, this was breaking news like right after we were done podcasting last week, so we didn't get it on last week's show, but processor flaws that's built into equipment from the last 20 years. So computers of all shapes and flavors are under scrutiny at this point.
Anything with an Intel processor, which means all your PCs, your Macs, a lot of your Internet of Things devices have some of these chips as well.
They call it Meltdown Inspector. And I just read an article today that something Microsoft, I think Microsoft pushed out, was bricking some older computers, like a fix for this was causing the computers to freeze up completely. So there's a lot of people struggling right now to find solutions to this processor flaw. It has to do something with the way it parallel processes things. And
I think I know a little bit from my reading, and it's probably inaccurate, but I'm sure somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But the way processors or more advanced processors work, and the way they get faster, is they look ahead. They try and predict what the next request would be. So They're working on different things while they're working on what you've asked them to work on. So they're saying, well, the next bit or byte is going to be this and this. I think it's going to be this, 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 and this. And then if it isn't what it expected, then it just throws that away. Unfortunately, it doesn't totally throw that away. So the flaw is, you know, with the right exploit, they could get at some of that data and get at all the data, which could include anything that you've typed into your computer, including, or anything that's on your computer, including passwords and, you know, very sensitive information. So what's having to happen is with these fixes, they're actually having to remove that predictive processing. So that will actually, in some cases, slow things down. So they're having to intentionally slow down these processors, just because they can't use this feature that they had used to kind of speed it up. So I don't think we know everything about this yet, although manufacturers, software makers, everybody is certainly trying to move as quickly as they can, because this could be a pretty big thing. And anybody with protection through tools like Sophos and those kinds of things are probably in pretty good shape. And this happened, the concern is mostly on servers. It's not necessarily on personal computing devices, because servers share a lot of information, or certainly shared servers. So that's something that they're trying to work on now. You may have even noticed, maybe it was Monday morning, I got an alert that the yearbook app was down. And well, what is wrong with the yearbook app? And what was happening was Microsoft was patching their servers to prevent this exploit. So there's going to be a lot of that, I think, over the coming weeks, where certainly large server farms like Azure and Amazon, those kinds of places, are having to patch these things so that this does not get out of control.
So there wasn't anything wrong with the yearbook app, just the computer it was hosted on was down for service.
Exactly. Yeah, they had to stop it and restart it, and therefore the app couldn't get at it.
No exploits happening on the yearbook app. That's a good
thing.
Thanks
for clearing that up. Yes.
All right. Well, great knowledge that you shared there, Martin. I'm glad you have a PLN that's informing you about Intel
listening to
difficulties. Excellent.
You've got some happier news. CES is always kind of a fun time because all the cool new stuff comes out saying, well, here are the possibilities.
And, you know, I had it on the tip of my tongue, but I don't even know what CES stands for, the Consumer Electronics Show.
Exactly.
Does that sound right? It's happening this week in Las Vegas, actually kicked off today. And already CNET has an article out there about some of the cool stuff that's available are being debuted at CES. So we'll have some links in the show notes. Certainly follow your PLNs this week and stuff. I did a little browsing of some of the things they were showing, and there was smart bathrooms and kitchen stuff, like a faucet that you can speak to tell it to turn on and to get warmer and things like that. I can't imagine. There were a lot of really, really, really large television projections and, you know, with great gaming capabilities and all this kind of stuff. I saw a thing that would overlap screens that are side by side. So say you have two or three monitors on your desktop, like a little bridge that goes between and gets rid of the bevel that happens between the monitors. Just a lot of monitor stuff. I saw a suitcase that'll follow you through the airport so you don't have to drag it yourself. It's smart enough. And I don't know, it's always interesting what comes out of CES. Fun to dream about.
And you've got kind of built-in limitations now about all these new toys and gadgets, which is probably good as you fit so many things on four wheels.
It actually just makes us that much more attentive to things that are getting smaller and smaller. We're not into the big, although we both have really large monitors. So as long as we have space for those, I think we're okay.
All right. All right. That's our news and tech segment. Let's move on to Wells Now.
And a couple of things to mention there. I think we mentioned last week that we have a brand new Interactive Faith series starting. It actually starts tomorrow night, Wednesday, January 10th, and it happens at 6 and 8 p.m. Central each Wednesday through February 7th. The series is titled Isaiah, God Confronts and Comforts His People. And it's being led by the missionary down at St. John's in Antigua. That's Pastor Daniel Hobbin. And so tune in for that. Gather a group around the computer. You can watch the live stream and interact with each other while you listen to the presenter and interact with him through chat capabilities. I believe there will be some handouts that you can download from the website as well.
Yeah, if you go to wells.net/interactivefaith, you'll get all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. More
Wells-techy things.
That's right. Specifically, we'll want to make mention again of some important dates that are coming up now, just next year. That was 2 years away, but now next year we can look forward to the Wells EdTech Lead Summit. So we've joined together with our friends in the Wells Lutheran School's office, and Wells Tech Conference, as well as the PASS Leadership Conference, all combined into one, June 25th through 27th, 2019, happening at the Kalahari Resorts in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. So a fun destination. You can make your reservations and plan your family trip around it if you want. It should be a good time.
Yep, June 25, 27, 2019. Mark it down. And then finally, we want to remind everybody, we kind of launched this last week, and we're really excited to keep promoting this a little bit till the word gets out, and that's our Wells Tech Skills application, website, whatever you want to call it. And that's a place where if you have a skill, a tech skill, that you would want to make available to the wider Wells and ELS communities, either for fee or free, you can get your bio or profile up there and what you offer and picture and all that good stuff. And they can, the people that are maybe in need of those skills, a congregation or a school or organization, can click a button and send you a message saying, hey, I'd like to explore maybe some help in setting up our network or increasing our security or setting up a video production location in our church or building a website or a mobile app or whatever it is. So kind of a two-way street. So if you've got skills that you want to share or make available, come to this site, and it's skills.wellstech.net. And if you are looking for somebody with skills, and this could be, you know, just as an outsourced or a volunteer or, you know, a contractor, or, you know, in maybe some cases you're looking to hire a Wells person into your organization, business, whatever, you might be able to find them here as well. So skills.wellstech.net. Excited about that. We've already had a number of people come in and add their profiles, and the more the merrier.
Definitely. Shout out to those early adopters, and please help us out and help us build the directory and share your gifts with God's people.
All right, let's move on to our picks of the week.
And my pick of the week comes from my friends at TechSmith. TechSmith is the company, a Michigan-based company, behind the products Snagit and Camtasia for screen capture and video production. And they put out a helpful blog post. I believe it just came out this morning. It's titled Video File Formats, Codecs, and Containers Explained. And it's very well explained for layman type knowledge of video production. And, you know, more and more of us are doing video production and beginning to understand more about it and things. And so they talk a little bit about video compression, lossless versus lossy compression, and the codecs that make that happen, what bit rates you're looking for and different things like that, and how you can actually see that in the Camtasia settings. They explain all that there. And then they talk about the containers, which is a term I hadn't heard before, but that's basically the video formats. And what they recommend is MP4. And then as far as compression, they recommend something called H.264, which is a high def, popular high def compression level. So check out the article. It's not a long read, but it does give you a little bit of background knowledge as you're working with video files on what codecs and containers are.
Those TechSmith people know exactly what they're doing. They make a good, you know, instructional video, and they make super software, I think. So
mm-hmm. I agree.
Pleasure to use their products.
I'm a fangirl.
they're not an advertiser. We don't have advertisers, but we're happy to give them a plug. So, Sally, for my pick of the week, just actually a follow-up from last week's pick, I'm using my pick, and that's my earphone, my AirPods. And you'll get a kick out of this. The AirPods come in something that looks like a dental floss case, but they all look alike. They're all white, you know, Apple white, etc. So what I did...
Oh, look at that.
A little my monogram on there with vinyl letters. So wow. I have a wife with skills in that area. So awesome. I gave her a monograph file or a monogram file, and I just found a free one on my iPad that would do monograms and spit out a PNG file, gave it to her, and she had the letters, and now I will not be confused. Mm. My son has obviously all things Apple, former Apple employee, so he's got a dental floss case too, but this doesn't have a monogram on it, so I now tell the difference between it.
Excellent. Cool. You know, my vinyl cutter is making the cut. It's going
I figured
in the
it would.
RV.
I don't know how, but...
Yep. I will find a way. Love my vinyl cutter.
Good for you. That has a lot of different uses, we're finding. So there were some mm-hmm. Christmas gifts this year, a water bottle that went to my son-in-law, and a few things that... had the vinyl treatment. So.
Awesome. Tell Debbie I'm a fan.
Okay. My pick of the week, and I have picked this before. I looked it up on our Wells Tech brain, and it was in 2013. So it was a little, you know, 4.5, 5 years ago that I picked this. But my pick is, this is on the PLN side yet, one of the ways that I prefer to learn is through listening to podcasts. So I have a commute, a half-hour commute every morning and every evening. So I've got an hour there. I have other opportunities where I can listen to podcasts. And my podcast player of choice is something, is an app called Pocket Casts. And as I've mentioned in previous shows, this is really kind of, to me, one of the better products out there. First of all, it's cross-platform, iOS or Android, and the web. So regardless of where you are, if you've got one of those devices, you can use this app, and all of your podcasts stay in sync, so your playlists and so forth. They just released some what they call advanced playback features, so about 6 months ago, and I'd been meaning to get it on the show earlier, but they have three very cool enhancements. One of them is playback speed. And if you've ever tried to speed up or slow down podcasts on, you know, something that's maybe not made to do that, it can sound very unnatural, but they've figured this out so that you can, I always listen to my podcasts at 1.2 or 1.3 times. I find if I go to 1.5, it's a little too fast for me.
Chipmunks, huh?
Yeah, but actually even at that fast, it doesn't sound like, at that speed, it doesn't sound like chipmunks. So they've really done a nice job with that. But there's a couple other features. One is volume boost, and that's helpful if you're listening in the car and whatever. You just can't, you have to crank the radio way up, and then, because I play it through Bluetooth, and then when you're not, you know, and then the FM comes on, and, you know, you explode your eardrums. So volume boost is good, but the killer feature is called trim silence. Cuts silence from episodes so you can finish them faster. Saves you hours of playback time without changing the natural pace of episodes. So kind of built into every podcast are these little pauses, you know, where you aren't talking and I'm not talking. Like that. Mm-hmm. And this feature just gets that out of there. And you'd be surprised. Over, let's say, a 30-minute typical podcast, you could save 2, 3, 4 minutes sometimes of just getting those pauses out of there, those silent clips that they figured out how to remove. So, very cool feature. They have episode filters, so you can see your podcast by their download status, their playing state. Have you started them? Have you not? Whether they're audio or video. Release date. You can list your favorites, of course. They download, you can tell them when to download, so they can download automatically for you. You can say only download when you're on Wi-Fi or only download in the evening. And then, as I mentioned, they sync everywhere. So if you're listening on your computer and then grab your iPhone or Android phone, they will pick up right where you left off. And there are two versions, as I mentioned, iOS and Android. You can also pay for the web version. You can use the web version, but they give you a lot more features if you pay for their product, which is $9. Well worth the effort. And I think the my personal learning network really wouldn't be the same without this Pocket Casts app. So I'm a big fan.
Well, I think we need to have a show where you just tell us what all you listen to, because we want to learn what you're learning.
We could probably do that. Yeah. So are you a podcast listener yet?
Yeah, there's mine on there. It said Car Talk. That's my favorite, hands down.
So those are must be in reruns, or have they got new guys?
No, they're in reruns. No, Tommy passed away. So,
right.
Yeah.
Good all stuff. Right. So that is my pick. Now I got to get back to the OneNote here. And our next segment, and I know you're excited to share this ministry resource, Sally.
I am. It's actually a follow-up to a ministry resource I wrote about not that long ago. And I'm just struggling a little to share my screen. But one of the ministry resources that I featured last fall on the Wells Tech blog is something called Ripple, a mobile app I discovered. Its byline is a marketing team in your pocket. And so you can use either iOS or Android devices to prepare and post social media post. And they have a lot of great layouts, design things prepared for you. And they even give you ideas about what to post and that kind of thing. And so I shared the information. I was brand new at using it. And one of the things I shared was Ripple Pro, which costs $10 a month, was something I hadn't tried yet. Since then, the last couple of months, I have been using Ripple Pro. I just was so impressed with the product that we went ahead and invested to give it a try for promoting Wells Tech content. And I've been using it for probably 6 or 8 weeks now. And I think I'm falling more and more in love with it every day. It has so many great designs available. You are very limited when you just use the free product to the designs that they share. But once you pay for the product, you get a very large library of designs, all kinds of different fonts and things that you can use, a lot of different animation around the content that you do. And they even provide some royalty-free music that you can add to slideshow type promotion material that you create. Another feature that I really like is that we can include a logo on our designs. And I use that over the week between Christmas and New Year's as I was promoting the different picks of the year that we had made, Martin, and kind of labeled them as a pick of the year. And I thought that was a nice touch. And then I just switched back to the regular Wells Tech logo for things that we're posting now. Our engagements with the tool have just shot up really through the roof as we've used it more and more. And that's what I think is most exciting. I think that we do a fairly decent job each week of sharing new ideas and content that's appropriate for those in ministry to use with technology. But getting the word out and helping people know about those ideas and things that we share is what's really challenging. And with this tool, we've seen just phenomenal growth in the number of people that are liking our content, which means they're reading it and interacting with it. So that's exciting to see. Last couple of weeks, we've almost hit 100 in terms of weekly engagement, which is a high number for us. Our average used to be 13 per week on social media engagement. We're up to an average of 57 with these really nice high weeks that we've been having. And so I hope that our average goes up to 200 and 300 over time. And one of the things that will help us in that regard is our listening audience. If they're seeing these posts and would be so kind as to share them, you know, in their own feeds and things, I think we'll get more and more exposure for the content that we're putting together for use in ministry settings. So please do share and let us know what else you'd like to hear and see from Wells Tech so that we can prepare future podcasts to address your needs.
And consider using it in your ministries. I think we've found it, you know, a benefit to get the word out. And it goes out on what media does it go out on right now, Sally?
So they have available Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. They also have available LinkedIn. We don't have a real large specific Wells Tech audience for LinkedIn, but if you did have or were using your LinkedIn profile or whatever to share content, you can make it automatically go there. One thing that the pro version gives you is the scheduling capabilities, which as I was doing that countdown to the top picks of the year, I was scheduling one for the mornings, one for the afternoons, you know, and trying to hit it when people are active on social media or most active in social media, things like that. So I think that's made a difference for us as well, because in the past, we've just relied on manually posting things for the most part and weren't necessarily hitting those sweet spots of when people were actually active out there. So
good. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your work there. And I've been very impressed with the product that we've been able to produce.
Quality of their
hopefully with not too much effort as far as the construction of it. The brains behind it take some energy, but
woe is me. I don't want to let you know how much fun I'm having. How about that?
All right. All for $9.99 a month.
There you go. So.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Sally. Mm-hmm. We have just one piece of community feedback today.
Well, actually, one thing to point people to, and that's our Wells Tech Google group. If you aren't a member, I highly recommend it. You can ask questions and get answers, share your knowledge with a group of like-minded techies out there. And a couple of people last week shared some equipment that they had available. St. Marcus, I'm not sure where St. Marcus is. They had
St. Marcus, Milwaukee. It's down. That's
okay.
Inner city.
Okay, and it looks like they have a motor-operated projection screen and a projector to go with it that they're looking to sell, are adopting the equipment at a price of $500. I'm sure it's nice equipment. And then Adam and Teske shared that his school, I believe, had a series of Unify access points, so for wireless access points available. And I think those were free for the cost of shipping or whatever. So a nice place to do that kind of thing, to share your equipment that you might be replacing or whatever it is. And then Martin, you actually posted as well about the Wells Tech Skills site out there on the Google group. So just a good place to learn and share with like-minded techies.
Yep. So if you're wondering where that is or how to get involved, the best place to go is to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. And across the top, there's all kinds of recognizable little icons that you can click on that'll get you to different social networks. And one of them happens to be the Google Groups. That's the G icon toward the right. But you have, I think that's right. Or no,
nope.
I'm sorry. That's
sorry.
The Google Play icon.
Yeah.
Too many Google things. There's three Google things up there. There's Google Groups, there's Google Play, which is where our podcast is available, and Google Plus. But Facebook, Twitter, Digo, it's kind of a little quiz. If you can name all the symbols, you know, we'll give you a gold star for the day. Pinterest, Instagram, what's the W again?
It's our Wells Tech Wiki.
The wiki, yes, mm-hmm. Which we got to give some love to you know, in the near future. Our Google groups and different ways to get in touch with us. Email is always good too, wellstech@wells.net. And we would love to have you contribute to the show and share some of your knowledge or questions, comments, those kinds of things. So all of that is fair game.
Martin, you tipped your hat already to our video of the week.
That's not very good show business techniques.
It's called Starting a PLN with Twitter, a quick guide for teachers. And it's actually from our friends at Common Sense Education. It was neat to discover their YouTube channel. And if you don't subscribe, recommend Common Sense Education highly. Perhaps you want to subscribe and keep up with all of their videos because they have a lot of great stuff. We did ministry resources twice in 2017 on different Common Sense resources out there, but this particular one focused on Twitter for your personal learning network. So check it out.
Very good. And as I mentioned before, we're going to spend the rest of the month still sharpening our skills and having meaningful conversations around how to do that. So tune in next week for more of that conversation and resources that we're going to bring to the table.
Awesome.
Sally, thanks for your work as usual, and I look forward to episode, where are we, 532 coming up? Am I close? Am I in the ballpark?
You are right on. This is 531.
Yeah, 532 next week. Hope to all of you can come back and join us. And thanks for joining us this week. Can't understate or overstate how much we appreciate you tuning in. You know, whenever you can, and then sharing the fact that you do that, and it was worth your time. So take care. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.